to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. Now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
This is Kimberly, Barbara's daughter. I just want to say that right off the bat and make sure you know who you're listening to. We are so thankful that you are listening to Call to Freedom. It is for freedom that you were set free. And because Jesus has set you free, you are free indeed. You're free from old habits. You're free from doubts, free from fear, free from guilt and condemnation. We have dedicated our time and prayers. That's Barbara, my mom, and I. We've dedicated time and prayers to see you walk in more freedom, believing that you will experience victory in all that you are walking through today because of what Jesus has done for you. I just want to say a prayer. Lord, please change and alter the words that are coming from my mouth today. Make them usable to each and every person who's listening, and help us all see you more clearly and know you more deeply. It's in Jesus' name that I ask, and for your glory that I ask. Amen. Well, freedom is part of my what's rolling around in my heart right now, just part of my theme for this day and maybe this week, maybe the month of June in 2026. We're coming up to that Independence Day in July that America likes to celebrate, and that's all about freedom, right? And so our freedom is in what Jesus has done. That's where our true freedom comes from. When we understand that He became sin, that He is the one who erased all guilt, shame, and condemnation, despite of our waywardness and sins, our failures and faltering, we need to realize that we're united with Christ, not by any decision we have made or work that we have done, but because of the decision He made and the work He has done. Romans 5:8 tells us that He died for us while we were yet sinners. And when He was on the cross, He asked the Father to forgive us. So He forgave us while we were yet sinning. While we were still sinning, Jesus decided forgiveness is what was needed. That's what would really set us free. We need to grasp this truth. It's the only way we will be able to walk in that freedom that He already provided for us. You might hear this truth over and over, that you are free from fear, you're free from addictions, you are free from old habit patterns because of what Jesus has done, and yet you might still feel like you're caught in them, like you're caught in all those old patterns and addictions and feelings. How do you get out of the traps that you've been snared in for so long? The Bible is clear. It tells us that one died for all, therefore all have died. That's 2 Corinthians 5:14. It's telling us that Jesus died for all of us, so we have all died in our old nature. And why is that so hard to believe when we see ourselves going back to old habits, old patterns? Well, here's another verse for you. Romans 6:6-8. Says, we know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with Him. We're going to live His freedom and His life in us. That's the truth from the Word of God. And yet, we don't always feel that it's true for us. We might feel our old life creeping in, our old thought patterns following us around. Here is just my idea as, well, one of my many ideas floating around in my head as to why we still feel trapped when our Lord says that we are free. In our human nature, we hold ourselves responsible to make the decision to follow Jesus. But it's not about our responsibility. It's not about how responsible we are. We want to let God have the responsibility over our lives. He is God, and we are not. He is the one who has accomplished this freedom for us, not we ourselves. So we want to trust His responsibility, and we then only respond to what Jesus has already done. What is our response? Our response is to say thank you. Our response is to see what He has really done, and even seeing we need help. So we do. We ask you, Lord, to open the eyes of our understanding. Help us see you more clearly. Jesus is the one who has accomplished. He said that it's done. Jesus said it is finished. That's John 19, verse 30. He did not say, well, I did my part. I sure hope that they will do theirs. That is not what Jesus said. Thank you, Lord. Jesus said, it is finished. So we need to recognize that we've got some default thinking that happens in our head. We have a tendency to read scripture verses through a lens of our own responsibility, instead of through the lens of how we respond to what Jesus has accomplished. So let's take Romans 6, 6 through 8 as an example. We just read that, but now let's read it again with these default phrases that I think are in our heads. And I'm going to try to do this. It's easier for me to see it if I put these default phrases in italics or highlight them with a highlighter and see it on a page. I'm going to try to convey this in words so that you'll understand what I'm saying, because we want to be able to see what goes through our subconscious thoughts when we read these scriptures. So starting in Romans 6, verse 6 again, we might read this scripture. Here it is. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ. Now, in our subconscious thinking, we might say to ourselves, yeah, we know that our sinful self is crucified with Christ when I make a decision for Him to be Lord. We might think that way. Do you see there's a qualifier in there, in our thinking, in our subconscious? Well, if we go on, it says, so that sin might lose its power in our lives. Okay, that's part of the scripture. We might be thinking in our heads, sin loses its power in our lives when we turn from it. Like, we have to do the work of turning from it. We are responsible. We have this responsibility on our shoulders to make sure that we're turning from sin. Now, I'm not trying to say that we don't have to turn. That's not what I'm saying here. We'll get into our choices, because our choices do matter. Our decisions do matter. I'm just trying to point out some of our default thinking so that we can see that we try to put too much responsibility on us, and then we don't think that Christ really finished the work. We think the work is still in progress, and that we are kind of getting our hands in it and ruining it. We've got to defeat that thinking, because Christ really did finish the work. So it goes on in Romans 6, verse 7, we are no longer slaves to sin. That's what the Word says. In our default thinking, we might be adding to it and saying, we're no longer slaves to sin when we make the decision to be free in Christ. So I hope you're following me here. when we have that tendency to think that our decisions are so important that it can undo what Christ said he finished, that's when we're just not seeing the gospel clearly. The gospel is the best news ever, that Christ really did this amazing work. He died, and we died with him. He did it to unite us to himself and cause this great turn of events to happen so that we would know him, know his love for us, and know the power that he has to save. His saving power is not undone by our decisions. Now, our choices definitely play a part, and we will address that. We're going to talk about that. But if we believe that we can undo what Christ has done, what he completed, what he accomplished, if we think that we can undo his work with our choices, like I said before, we're not seeing the greatness of our God very clearly. And we want to be able to see his greatness. We want to hold him in awe and in wonder because he is so much greater than us. We just do not have the ability to unfinish what Jesus has finished. We cannot undo what Christ has done. Why is this on my heart today? Well, I was talking with a friend, and I actually have many friends, and maybe you do too, who are worried about their loved ones. They're worried about a neighbor, about people in their close circle of life. They're worried about them because they're not sure of their salvation. And they're not sure because they don't know if that person has made their decision for Christ. Now, I know that that's important. But what I also know is that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he is interceding for us. That is what Romans 8 tells us. That he died and that he ascended and is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he is praying over each one of us. So, when we are praying for our loved ones, we're actually joining Jesus in that prayer. And do you know that Romans 8 goes on to tell us that the Holy Spirit is also interceding for us? So now we're talking about Jesus, the Son of God, and Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. They're both praying and interceding for your loved ones that you are concerned about. When we choose to pray for those loved ones as well, we can know that we know that we know that we know. It is settled. It is finished. It's done. We're joining our prayers with the Son and the Spirit, and that's two out of the three in the Godhead. We're joining them. Is that not the most beautiful picture? When we join them, we know for certain that the work is accomplished. What God prays, God answers. He will have what his prayer request is. It's not going to go incomplete because we have more power than him. He desires that all should come to know him, that the wicked, not even the wicked, would perish. This is what 2 Peter 3 tells us. So we need to believe that and not be so anxious or worried about our loved ones being able to undo what Christ has done. Rebellion is not big enough to stand in the way of our God. Rebellion cannot overturn the desire of his heart. I just wanted to be speaking about that rather than thinking that, oh no, this isn't going to work. How could we say what Jesus did is not going to work? Jesus tells us in John 16, verse 33, he says to us, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome this world. Again, we might have this automatic default thinking that happens in our mind. We might be thinking to ourselves, okay, we can take heart. Jesus has overcome the world when we make the right decision to follow him. But that's not what he said. He said he overcame the world. He has overturned everything that could stand in his way to have what he desires most. And that is your heart. And that is the heart of the ones you love that you've been praying for all these years. Well, if you're still listening, thank you for your patience with me as I'm trying to uncover some faulty thinking in our minds that go along with the truth of God's word. It's quite possible that I'm the only one who struggles with these hidden thoughts. But making them more visible for all of us to see, it might be helpful in restoring awe and wonder for the Lord who has created us. He has done great and unimaginable things. We can't even imagine how great he is. And he has established and completed the work. I was hoping to lay that groundwork before we look at our memory verse for this week. Proverbs 16, verse 7 says, "When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him." Well, that sounds a little conditional. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, then the Lord will make his enemies be at peace with him. So if we're thinking of this conditionally, then we might have that default thinking kick in and think, oh, I could ruin this. I might not be pleasing to the Lord. So now I'm just going to have great conflict and a lot of enemies coming my way. Well, it can even sound that way in other translations. Let me read this one from the Passion Translation, which is a favorite of mine, but not for this verse. Let me just say, it says, "When the Lord is pleased with the decisions you have made, then he activates grace to turn enemies into friends." So it sounds like he has to be pleased with our decisions. That feels like a heavy responsibility to me. Like I have got to be making the right decisions in my life or God's not going to be pleased. But the truth of the Bible says that he was so pleased with us, it pleased the Father. It says this in Isaiah 53, it pleased the Father to crush his Son. We need to remember how much God loves us and is pleased to do this work of redemption for us. He knows we can't do it by ourselves. He knows that we can't make all the right decisions. So even when we are rebelling, our future is secure because of Jesus' love for us and his forgiveness over us. This verse in Proverbs 16:7, "When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him." What I believe is that when we are walking through this life, prioritizing God, prioritizing his ways above our own, that is when we start seeing miracles and even our enemies will be at peace with us. That's a miracle, by the way, when you see your enemies at peace with you. We get to experience that, those kinds of miracles, when we're walking closely and tightly with the Lord and his priorities for us. Some translations of this verse in Proverbs 16:7 will cause us to feel like we are the ones responsible. But let's remember that God holds the responsibility for our redemption, that he is the one who completed the work. And let's not take that out of his hands and think that we can undo what he has so perfectly accomplished. We want to remember that Christ died for us while we were struggling with sin, because that's how full his heart is, full of love for us. The more broken and condemned and guilty that we are, the more he longs to set us free. He longs to reach into that area and free us. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. His work of forgiving us is finished. And that is what will eventually set us free from our habits and our patterns when we are walking in that finished work, when we know he wow, I'm not saying it very well, but thank you, Lord, you're getting this across to your people. He cannot fail and has not failed and will not fail in the future just because we've got some kind of rebellion in our lives. He has completed, accomplished, perfected. He's done it. And we can rest in that. Ephesians 2. Let's go to Ephesians 2, verses 12 through 14. This area of the Bible tells us that you lived in this world without God and without hope. But now you have been united with Christ Jesus. For Christ himself has brought peace to us. Jesus united us with himself through this work, through his sacrifice. He is not just with you, he is in you, and you are in him. Jesus walked through all of the pain and the sorrow and the suffering and the failures of this world. And he learned forgiveness in all these areas. I love Hebrews 4, verse 15. It says that Jesus understands humanity, for as a man, he was tempted in every way, just as we are, and he conquered sin. So instead of sinning with pride or trying to ever go into bitterness or resentment, unforgiveness, Jesus experienced every kind of betrayal, disappointment, loss, heartache, all of what we have experienced here. He has experienced that. And then he went further, hung on a cross for us, and he covered all that betrayal and disappointment and heartache by saying, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." What love is this that will forgive it all? His work is finished. For us to think that we can undo that work is simply a lack of faith in the greatness of our God. We don't want that. We want to grow in faith. But even in our lack of faith, it will not overturn what he has accomplished. That's just how great he is. I just want to challenge myself and others who are listening to change our thinking. Let's start changing that thinking and know that we are united to Christ, that we cannot ununite ourselves. I don't think that's a word, but I'm going to use it today. We cannot ununite ourselves because he did it. He completed it. He finished. Can't say that enough times. We've got to understand that what Christ did, it stands for all of eternity. And we're not undoing it with poor decisions and rebellion. He has ways of drawing us to himself, and he will have his way. So let's not worry so much about our loved ones that we think have backslidden. Let's remember that we, in our prayers and our longings, we are joining Jesus in his prayers and his longings, that he has already accomplished what needs to be done to save each one of those that we care about. And let's also remember that he cares about them more than we do. We can look back at our memory verse, and it's from Proverbs 16:7. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. While we are walking this earth, this is our only opportunity to grow in faith and to walk by faith. If we are walking through life only pleasing ourselves and trying to find the best place to live and worrying about other people, worrying about our jobs, our finances, if that's how we're walking through life, then we might not be growing in faith. We're just living for our own pleasure or our own comfort. But what about God's pleasure? And what about His comfort? I want to be thinking more about Him, knowing that He created us to be His sanctuary. And if you think about a sanctuary, when you think about your place that you can get away to, that's a place of rest, a place of comfort, a place of peace, does that place have any worry in it? Does it have stress or fear? Most likely not, otherwise you wouldn't call it your sanctuary. So let's think about God's sanctuary. What would He like to be welcomed into? The thing is, He's God, and He loves us so deeply that He is willing to be with us in all of our worry and our fear, our anxiety and our doubt. Yet we get to make decisions to come into alignment with Him and to trust Him, to let Him have His way so that we can be at peace and He can be at peace in His sanctuary. I don't know if any of us can take peace from God, but we sure steal it from ourselves when we choose to stay in our old habit patterns, our old thoughts, our old way of thinking. And it still just blows my mind every time I think about how humans will invent things to serve them, and they expect those things to function exactly how they intended. If those created things do not work, we throw them out. Not God. God does not do it that way. God created all of us to serve His purposes. And when we don't work as expected and we don't make decisions like He was hoping for, He sends His only Son to tell us that He loves us right in our mess. Trust Him today, grow in faith, and let Him bring you more joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom Ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy in